Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for May 14th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances are brilliant, one of the great solutions we have at our fingertips, and we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. Sam from Mount Vernon asks an incredible question. George Washington, was he the greatest leader of all time? Of course, not counting the Savior Jesus Christ. I would say so. I challenge anyone to come to me with a more qualified, more humble, more dignified leader. Was he perfect? Of course not. He's a human. He's like us. He's not like the Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of us all. Okay, there's a big difference. I'm not at all putting any mortal man on the plane of the Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus was the greatest leader. But I'm telling you find me a person, a mere mortal on the earth, any time in history, and tell me who did a better job, who had greater fidelity to the principles that matter, who had the qualities, who did the work that a George Washington did. There's another man, I would say Joseph Smith Jr., who restored the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is one of those. I'm not telling you there's a singular leadership here in George Washington that nobody comes close or anything. I'm just saying he is the greatest and or one of the greatest leaders the world has ever known. Anyway, we talked about George Washington, went to Mount Vernon. The U.S. stockpile of diesel fuel is a huge problem. They're saying there's going to be shortages on the East Coast. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be disaster if that happens. You say, well, I don't drive a diesel. Yeah, but everything you depend on does. Migrants, by the way, are receiving ample supplies of baby formula while the American society or the people in America can't get formula. It's a big old battle going on as well. We talked about that in hour one. Hour two, we had on our guest, Dr. Scott Bradley. And we talked about the fact that there's order in the universe. Our founders knew it. The question is, do you? We also talked about his incredible book and collegiate series called To Preserve the Nation, available at freedomsrisingsun.com. And we talked about in the traditions of the founding fathers. We talked specifically about chapter 15, George Washington, the elegant exercise of power. God raised up wise men for the very purpose of writing the Constitution of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about Naomi Judd died as a self-inflicted gunshot wound. She committed suicide, if you will. And that's a sad tragedy. We compared that in our society today where nobody turns to God. Nobody realizes that family matters. You got to know someone loves you. You got to know people really love you. You got to know God loves you. You got to know your godly heritage. It's helpful to understand your American heritage. Because when you do, then you realize there's more to your life. And even if you're suffering, you realize that you follow Christ. And we all take upon ourselves as disciples the willingness to bear his cross, if you will. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I want to say it's a sacred duty for the followers of Christ. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show, available at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, it's free. And now we'll launch into the news the networks refuse to use today. Our guest, Chris Carlson, joins us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
All right. You watched 2,000 Mules, as many of us are doing. I watched it as well, and Chris wants to do an in-depth review, and it's about time, sir.
Yes, sir. God bless Dinesh D'Souza. That's what I want to start this program off with, Sam, and Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips. God bless those good folks. I understand that Greg Phillips is now being persecuted and possibly prosecuted for his good work on 2,000 Mules. And that is very sad, because if you actually watch the documentary, which we did, you'll become very angry or very embarrassed if you are a member of the Democrat Party or Democratic Party, however you will characterize that, because it exposes massive, massive, after the 2020 election, Sam, that this was the the most secure, the most honest election in the history of our country, not even close. So we're going to do a review of what they did, how they did it, and the results they came up with. So they used a technology called geo-tracking, and this is something that that a lot of marketing companies, a lot of government law enforcement agencies, and the intelligence community uses on a routine basis, whereby they can actually track you based on your cell phone. They know where you are. They know what time you were there. They don't know what you did there, but they can gather this information and create an outline or a pattern of perhaps implicating you in a criminal activity. Or in this case, specifically, the criminal activity would be visiting drop boxes where you would deliver ballots that were illegally harvested and filled out and submitted for recording in the 2020 presidential election. And they used it, and they were able to obtain a lot of this information. I don't know exactly where they got it from, the some sort of election commission or something. So what they did is they went to some the battleground states of Atlanta, Georgia. They went to Phoenix, Arizona, the major city there. They went to Michigan, the Detroit area, and they went to Philadelphia. For the first time in 2020, ballot boxes were used to vote. True the Vote was able to use technology to track cell phones through geo-tracking to determine whether these mules were at during where they were at during a period using digital footprints. Law enforcement, the intelligence community, and marketers use this technology on a regular basis. Sam, True the Vote, and Catherine Engelbrecht, by the way, started this organization, True the Vote, and they were the ones responsible for gathering all this information and organizing it in a way to evince a pattern of massive fraud. They were able to purchase hundreds of terabytes, which you probably know more than I, that's a lot of information, of these digital footprints. And they did so between October 1st, which apparently was the first time you could use your mail-in ballot to vote through to the election, which would be, I think, November 3rd or 4th, if I recall correctly. The people under observation must have made 10 unique visits to one of the 309 drop boxes in Atlanta, Georgia. So this is focusing on specifically the Atlanta fraud metro area, and made at least 5 visits to one of the Get Out the Vote organizations. And I use the example of Acorn as an example of a Get Out the Vote organization. There are tons of them, and they're non-governmental organizations that encourage people to get out the vote who may not otherwise get out. But it looks like they've become fraud clearinghouses for vote fraud in this case. Okay. So they identified in the Atlanta metro area 242 mules that satisfied that criteria. Remember, the criteria was very high. You had to visit at least 10 drop boxes and visit at least one of the Get Out the Vote organizations. Now, a lot of mules did not reach that high qualification, so they were not counted in this study. So The results that they came up with, Sam, underrepresented probably what was reality. So in Milwaukee, they identified 100 mules. In Phoenix, they identified 200 mules. In Michigan, they identified 500. And then in Philadelphia, they identified 1,100 mules. And it all added up to over 2,000, hence the title, 2,000 Mules. Okay. So the technology they used allowed them to objectively and scientifically determine, and they also had video evidence. In fact, they had 4 million minutes, and that's million minutes of video evidence actually showing these mules going up to election drop boxes in these various locations in these various metropolitan areas and dropping ballots into the box. And you could see that there was more than one ballot, and that's called ballot harvesting, and it is illegal in every one of these swing states where they operated. So it's not speculation, and the video evidence proves that they were depositing more than just one ballot. So that in itself, the video evidence
shows. Hold on. Do you realize how many 4 million minutes of video is? Do you understand how much time that is? It's hard to think about in minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, 4 million minutes of video is 66,666.6666 whatever minutes. I mean hours. Okay, so 4 million minutes is over 66,600 hours. And they had to comb through all that video, ladies and gentlemen, to hone in on these specific mules. But they got the goods, and the video is in the movie. Chris?
Yeah, and they show various perpetrators of this criminal enterprise, and it is a criminal enterprise. And they interviewed a couple of whistleblowers, which is very telling. But a lot of whistleblowers obviously are not going to spill the beans on this because they are literally, Sam, and this one whistleblower said this, they're literally threatened with death if they spill the beans on this criminal operation.
Hang tight. We have a whole lot more for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is a barn burner issue. Before, there's been a lot of speculation about evidence, but every time people want the crack and it never came. 2,000 mules breaks that issue and now has the smoking gun. Chris Carlson continues in seconds on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off, with America surrendering to terrorists. Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson riding shotgun on the show today. We're talking about an in-depth review of 2,000 Mules. It is a blockbuster, ladies and gentlemen. It is a must-see. Even Newsmax and Fox, the supposed conservative news organizations, won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. What's wrong with these wimps? The fact is it's hard-hitting, and it is the smoking gun. The review continues. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we rewind to summarize the 2020 election to give you a handle on exactly what happened, ladies and gentlemen. Chris?
Okay, I'm going to take your radio audience, back to the night of the 2020 presidential elections. As you know, Sam, people treat this as a sporting event nowadays. It's a very exciting thing. And Trump supporters were, in fact, enthused because the numbers in the battleground states of Georgia, of Arizona, of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania were looking up for Donald Trump. The news media were reporting as much. The film begins with excerpts from various news outlets. This is 2,000 Mules. It begins with various news outlets reporting that things were looking up for Donald Trump. In fact, my friend, now I'm going to go ahead and give you a disclaimer at this point, Sam, and to your radio audience. I am not a Trump supporter. Okay, so it would seem odd that I would be defending his position in this ordeal. But I'm not necessarily defending his position per se. What I'm defending in this discussion, Sam, is honest voting. That's all I'm defending, because I didn't vote for Trump the first time. I didn't vote for Trump the second time. And I will never vote for Donald Trump because I disagree.
Now, by the way, I yours truly did not and will not vote for Donald either. I recommend I recognize the good that he does. I also highlight the bad that he does. And I give credit when credit's due. But I did not vote for, and I will not vote for, Donald Trump. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, but this is not about Donald Trump. It has never been about personality for me, Sam. It's been about principle. And the principle is, if we don't have an honest voting system in this country, and I'm going to appeal to people who think we have a democracy, which we don't. We don't have a democracy then, nor do we have a republic. And of course, that's exactly what we do have, is a republic. But if we don't have the freedom to believe or to expect that our votes will be honestly counted and that fraudulent votes will not be counted, we do not have a republic. We have a dictatorship. And whoever is controlling the flow of those votes is the one who are dictating the terms to us. So anyway, going back to election night, here's the text that I sent my friend, who I knew would be voting for Trump and would be excited about the results that we were seeing unfold before our very eyes at that time. I said, quote, "Are you happy now? It looks as if your champion is going to win the election." And most people did believe that Donald Trump was going to win the election. Now, at this juncture, I'm going to clarify, okay, I already did that. Oh, and then, of course, I just wanted to put a plug in for Don Blankenship of the Constitution Party. That's who I voted for. Now, a lot of people don't divulge who they voted for. They consider that personal information. But that's who I voted for. Anyway.
By the way, let's be very clear. That's who I voted for as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then CNN reported in that morning. Sorry, the big lie. CNN reported that morning that, and I wish I had the quote right in front of me, but they basically said, you know, you may have gone to bed thinking that Donald Trump was going to win the presidential election, but that's not how it turned out. Now, something happened overnight, and everybody witnessed this personally because they knew that in those battleground states, Trump was leading and that he was expected, he was slated to win. But interestingly enough, and this should be a huge, huge smoking gun to everybody, and it was. It was because I believe that most Republicans and conservatives do believe that Donald Trump was going to win. And in the morning, they say, surprise, Joe Biden won the election. Okay, that should be a big smoking gun for most people. And then people started claiming that it was a fraudulent election, and of course, they used the term the big lie. And Dinesh D'Souza then talks about how Trump and his supporters' accusations of voter fraud were met with counter accusations of the big lie. And it was the most secure election in our nation's history. You remember that. They repeated it over and over and over like programmed parrots. And it wasn't. And then he goes into we'll talk about the Salem radio network later. He talks about, you know, people, for example, Sebastian Gorka talks about that a lot of people sensed that there was fraud, there was massive fraud in the election.
Yeah, the bottom line is there's been allegations of fraud, but nobody's been able to deliver the Kraken. Nobody's been able to really give the goods. Mike Lindell had a big old to-do, and when he got done, it was a big old, you know, nothing burger. Basically, he said, hey, I got the goods, and a lot of IT folks looked at it and said, hey, this isn't really, you know, Mike doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just a bunch of garbly goop data. And then other people said, no, we got the election fraud. Sydney Powell has it. She's delivering it in court. And then she released her information, and people said, you know what? There's some witnesses and there's some testimony and there's some affidavits, but there's not enough here. And so everybody looked around and said, there is no smoking gun. You make alleged vote fraud allegations. The New York, what's that guy's name? The New York, old New York mayor, who's Donald Trump's friend, who is an attorney. What's that guy's name?
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani even made all those claims, and his turned out to be a big old nothing burger. And, you know, about 10 different people said they had the goods. This is the, and nobody had it. And so even the conservatives at Salem Radio Network and other places, even conservative people who you would think would be concerned about this are like, look, you know what? At first I thought there was vote fraud too, but nobody can produce anything. So we're going to have to let it go. We're going to have to get past it. Forget it. The election's in the past. But now the research of 2,000 mules and the research of Catherine Albrecht, Catherine and others, it's not Albrecht, it's
Albrecht.
What's her name?
Engelbrecht. Sorry.
Anyway, Catherine Engelbrecht, she basically, with True the Vote, has proven there is evidence. And that's the difference. And so what happens is these Salem media people, and we'll talk about them in a minute, but they started out saying, you know what, we appreciate it, but nobody can produce evidence. It's a lost cause. We're past this. And that's really the idea of the film, to say, look, we're past it. There's no evidence, right? Wrong.
Yes.
Chris?
Wrong. Yeah, and that's the thing. And even I mean, obviously, gut feelings don't stand up in a court of law, Sam. You can't just say, well, you know, I heard this and I heard that. And there were isolated incidents. And Joel Skousen, by the way, did a magnificent job in reporting isolated incidences here in Georgia, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Arizona. But that
in Pennsylvania, we even had our buddy Matt Staver of Liberty Council in Pennsylvania put somebody on the ground and dig in and prove it and come on Liberty Roundtable Live and tell about it. We had the goods in limited fashion, but not enough wide scale to make the point or to carry the ball. The mainstream press turns against us, including these conservative hosts we're talking about, Chris.
Yeah, you know, and even the mainstream media would admit, yeah, that you're right in these isolated instances, because whistleblowers would come out and there would be videos of whistleblowers. And Joel Skousen was really good in documenting those. But then the mainstream media, as they could no longer say that it was the most honest election in American history, were forced to say, okay, there were isolated incidences, but it was not enough to overturn the election. And that's another area where Dinesh D'Souza and Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips goes into, and I think we should probably do that. Was the fraud enough to overturn the election? Okay,
like, all right, Dinesh D'Souza then went into a meeting room with the following people from Salem Media. Now, Salem Media is big, Salem Media is mainstream, and these are the hosts that literally said, hey, there's no evidence, we're past it. So Dinesh D'Souza took them all into a room, asked them if they believe there was vote fraud and if they believe there was evidence, and they literally all said, no, there's nothing. It's a big old nothing burger. Who are we talking about? Larry Elder, Eric Metaxas, Dennis Prager, Charlie Kirk, and Sebastian Gorka. All of them basically said, all of them from Salem Radio or Salem Media, basically said, you know, no, we don't really believe it. There's just no evidence. We first thought that was the case. We are concerned too. It looked strange to us. Our gut said there was, but look, nobody's been able to deliver the information. And so he takes these people through the reality of the discovery. Chris?
Yeah. Yeah. And even Sebastian Gorka pointed out that Trump had gotten 10 million votes more in the 2020 election than he had gotten 4 years previously in the 2016 election. Of course, that doesn't prove anything. It's incredibly circumstantial as evidence, but it doesn't prove anything. And of course, the 81 million votes that Joe Biden got was unprecedented in the history of presidential elections. But again, it doesn't prove anything.
So they all went in skeptical as could be, ladies and gentlemen, justly so, in my opinion. But ladies and gentlemen, things changed as they learned what has been uncovered by Catherine and Greg Phillips. We'll talk about it with Chris Carlson in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The hunt is on for a Texas Capitol murderer inmate who escaped while being transported this week. Police say Gonzalo Lopez managed to get out of his restraints and stab a bus driver, then took off somewhere near the town of Centerville, about 2 hours north of Austin. Residents have been warned to stay indoors.
We're locked and loaded. I mean, that's who we are. I mean, we protect our neighbors.
It's just crazy. Everybody's pretty much armed and ready to go.
Lopez was convicted of killing a man with a pickaxe. Russia's deputy foreign minister says Moscow will take adequate measures if NATO deploys nuclear forces closer to the Russian border. President Biden said he had a good conversation with the leaders of Finland and Sweden about security following the Russian invasion of Ukraine and their possible invitation to join NATO. USA Radio News.
How does balance of nature help your body? Well, let's look at the science. Your body is made up of billions of cells. Each one of these cells has a specific job to do inside of your body, from carrying oxygen from your lungs to your brain, to fending off diseases and other foreign invaders. So how do you keep these all-important cells healthy? You have to feed them fruits and vegetables. Eating a diet rich in a wide variety of fruits and vegetables will give you all of the necessary nutrients your cells need to carry out their jobs. Balance of Nature provides your body with this wide range of nutrients in the easiest way possible. You don't have to worry about buying, storing, or preparing produce every day. All the nutrition fits easily into your hand. Trust the science and start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and be sure to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code USA.
The U.S. Postal Service is holding a food drive to stamp out hunger today. This is the 30th year in a row the postal workers have collected food donations that go to local churches, food banks, and food pantries. They need non-perishable food items. They can't take items in glass containers, homemade items, and expired food. The USPS saying to place a donation in a bag and leave it by your mailbox for pickup. A huge pro-abortion rights rally is set for the National Mall in Washington, D.C. this weekend. An estimated 17,000 people are expected to turn out for Saturday's rally to protest the possible overturning of the Supreme Court's landmark Roe v. Wade decision. An illegally leaked draft opinion from the nation's highest court suggested Roe v. Wade may be overturned. The event will begin around the Washington Monument and move to the Supreme Court building later in the afternoon before ending at the Capitol. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. 2,000 Mules, the incredible documentary film in review. Chris Carlson with me breaking it down. So Dinesh D'Souza, the filmmaker, brought all these guys from Salem Radio or Salem Media into the room and said, hey, do you guys believe that vote fraud occurred? Nah, we've seen all the so-called promised evidence and it's not there. No, we don't. And then he proceeds to take them through his evidence, and at the end, they are absolutely shocked. Chris, the evidence starts now.
Okay, so the big question then becomes, because even the mainstream media, as we pointed out, Sam, admitted, yes, there were isolated incidences of voter fraud, but not enough to overturn the election. They were ridiculing Trump and blah, 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 and Trump supporters were really offended by that. So Dinesh D'Souza and his team go into whether or not there was enough evidence to overturn the election. And I don't want to give you too many of the numbers because it could get boring. But what they did is
you got to give
Georgia,
some, though. You got to give some numbers.
Okay.
It really hammers the evidence is the point.
Okay. So they have identified in the bar, the criteria that they used to determine whether or not they were going to use a number was that each mule had to visit at least 10 drop boxes and visit at least one of the get out the vote centers. And based on that criteria alone, and they could have expanded that and made it a little less conservative. And we're going to go into that in a little bit here, too. But based on that very high bar of criteria, if 250 mules in Georgia visited 24 drop boxes on average, and that's what they've determined, these are just averages. I mean, obviously, it varies from mule to mule. And then an average of 5 illegal ballots per visit were deposited in those drop boxes, Sam. That would have given Donald Trump an additional 30,000 votes. And he lost by 12,000 votes in the state of Georgia. Thus, that would give him the victory in all of the electors in the state of Georgia. That would give him 16 electors in the state of Georgia. Ching, ching. So add that to the list. In Arizona, 200 mules visited an average of 20 drop boxes with an average of 5 illegal ballots. That would turn the election by 20 votes. That would then, and all he needed was 10,000. So 20,000 to 10,000, ching, ching. That gives Donald Trump the election in Arizona and all the 11 electoral votes for that. Ching, ching. And then we go to Philadelphia. 1,100 mules were identified who made an average visit of 50 drop boxes with an average of 5 illegal ballots per visit to the drop boxes, giving him a whopping 275,000 additional votes that were stolen from him, more than overcoming the 80,000 vote threshold that he needed to overcome in order to beat Biden. To ching, so Philadelphia goes to him. You add all those up, and it swings the vote by 20 electoral votes in those three battleground states alone, giving Donald Trump 279 total electoral votes to Joe Biden's 259. There you have your evidence right there. There were enough votes illegally cast by these mules to overturn the election. And they got the proof, dead to rights. And when I found that out, I was both overjoyed, Sam, and then I was discouraged because I know exactly what's going to happen. I know people who support Joe Biden and who hate Donald Trump are going to say, they're going to say, well, this is all fraudulent. I'm not even going to watch this. And that's my fear, that people won't, because I think if you have just a scintilla of honesty in your heart and you watch this documentary and you look at the evidence, you look at the film footage that they document in it, and you listen to the whistleblowers whose faces and voices are disguised, I think if you have a scintilla of honesty in your heart, that you will come to the same conclusion that you and I, Sam, have come to, that this was a dishonest election and it needs to be overturned. And reconciliation needs to be made to the American people. And I hope that happens, but I'm afraid that it won't. I'm afraid that people who are just so angry and hateful towards Republican and conservative principles, and for whatever reason, wants Joe Biden, as much damage as he's done over the last year and a half in office, I've got a feeling a lot of those people are just going to refuse to look at that evidence. So we need to get out, in this case, not get out the vote, we need to get out the evidence so that there can be a revolution of honesty and integrity in our election system the next time, at least, if not reconciliation made for what happened a year and a half ago. We were defrauded, and we should be angry, and we should demand justice. We should demand that there be a congressional investigation, at least state investigations, for those people who are concerned with those matters. So, but it needs to begin with getting out the evidence and showing our neighbors, showing our friends, our family members this film. Have film nights. I'm going to have a film night. I'm going to invite everybody who I think is open-minded enough, and maybe some of those who may not be, who I may not think
are. I think we ought to work on renting out a theater. I think we ought to go to a theater and see if we can't rent it out and play the movie.
Let's do it. I'll work with you on that, Sam.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So listen, I want to define a few terms because Chris is so on fire for this. He's doing a great job breaking it down, telling you the facts. But you got to know some basics, though. First off, people are saying, Sam, what's a mule? What the heck does 2,000 mules mean? Well, first off, a mule is a term used when they talk about drug traffickers. A mule picks up the drugs from a source, delivers it to a destination for distribution. That's considered a drug mule. Well, now they're using the mule term for election ballots, saying, look, they pick them up from these, quote, entity nonprofit sources, and then they distribute them to ballot boxes. And so these mules run around and, you know, basically move or traffic ballots like they do drugs, okay? That's what you got to understand. And so how mules, akin to Mexican cartel mules, for example, how they were able to pad Biden's election numbers in five key swing states. So listen, we believe this is going on in all 3,000-plus counties in the country. But they basically narrowed this down to highlight the point, to develop the pattern, and to say, hey, look, you know what? In Utah, in a very conservative county where I live, there might be mules running around doing this, but you know what? It probably won't change the outcome of the election. It's too Republican of a state, too conservative of a state. So they basically narrowed their results down to these Democratic strongholds where the swing states changed the election, where when you went to bed overnight, they said, look, we're going to stop counting ballots. But then you woke up and, well, how did all of a sudden Biden win if they stopped counting ballots? Well, the answer is because they counted ballots. They manipulated the results overnight. Well, they told you they weren't going to count and you went to sleep. Well, so the point is they narrowed this all down to 2,000 mules. So they took 2,000 of the best examples, or I should say of the examples that they thought would make the most sense, that they had video on and cell phone or tracking data on. And then they delivered these 2,000 and they said, look, in each state, what would happen? Would it have changed the election if these mules didn't dump these ballots? And the answer is they found out yes. And in one state, they found out no. But overall, it would change the outcome nationally of the election for sure. So that's why they narrowed down this whole thing and gave you this 2,000 mules. 2,000 relates to the examples that they delivered proof on in the video. The mules refers to the drug or ballot traffickers in this case. And the case studies are the ones that they had cell phone evidence on. In other words, tracking. Where did your cell phone go? Why is your cell phone right by a ballot box in the middle of the night? Whoa, there's video of you along with your cell phone data at this ballot. And there's video of you stuffing ballots in the box at 3 a.m. or something. What's going on with that? Okay, that's why they have the numbers of how many times you visited the ballot box, et cetera. Does your cell phone data match the video that shows you doing this? They've got them multiple ways. You know, we're always taught in the news business to make sure you source something from two or three sources. Don't just go with a single source. They didn't. That's why the cell phone data was purchased and used, and that's why the government camera video was used alongside, and that's why they put the bar so high to say, look, the average of 10 times or at least 5 times, or you know, these things go into the ballot box, because you might go yourself and then you might go for your grandma. There might be legitimate reasons in certain states to go more than once, but you certainly don't go 10 times in the middle of the night. You certainly aren't on video stuffing the ballots so much into the ballot box that they fall on the ground and you have to pick them up. You certainly don't take pictures of you depositing the ballots into the box. Why would you do that? Well, the reason they say they took pictures is so they could prove that they did the deed or that they delivered the goods so they could get paid. An average of $10 a ballot they got paid is the allegation. So this is the summary that you need to understand. This kind of puts all the nuts and bolts together. How did it happen? That's how it happened, folks. That's the summary of Dinesh D'Souza's incredible film, 2,000 Mules. Now, at the end of the movie, I want you to understand, these Salem radio hosts are absolutely beside themselves shocked, Chris.
Yeah, can I just add something to what you just said, Sam? So there is criminal evidence then. Congress could hold hearings on this because there is now...
They won't. They're the ones that are attacking us over January 6th. They avoided hearings. They won't do it.
Okay.
Right, they should have done it. They should have done it, but they let the January 6th scandal unfold with, again, now you got mules changing the votes and provocateurs blaming it on we the people as terrorists, right? Hang tight. Chris Carlson in seconds.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
All right, happy to have you along, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure what happened to the music there. It was quite low, but other than that, we're surviving. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Chris Carlson breaking it down just for you. So there was five key swing states they were working on here, Chris, that's really important to understand because all these states would have affected the election, and that's why they narrowed their focus to handle these. But I'm saying, you know what, just because, let's say, Utah might not have changed the national outcome of the 2020 election, we still need to investigate every single county in the country. Why? Because they might be doing this on my local level for my governor or my state offices or my county offices or and so on and so on. And so even though maybe it wouldn't change the outcome of 2020, it's not about Donald. It's about vote fraud. And vote fraud might be happening in your county regardless. And so they did the sample. They set the pattern. But now the clarion call in the movie is for law enforcement and the people to get together and expand this reality to all counties. Was there vote fraud in Utah County, Utah, where Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson live? Yes or no? Did they use mules in our area to swing maybe local elections or maybe as part of the national narrative in hopes that even if they didn't do enough in a given swing state that they might have, you know, moved the needle somewhere else or the totality would have made the difference down the line, right? So this is a broader discussion, Chris.
Yeah, and not only that... But in order to comport with those states where Donald Trump lost by vote fraud, you have to suppress the appearance of him having won in overwhelming fashion in neighboring states. So it doesn't look like such a great contrast. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to make it look like he was not as popular across the board. So they have to suppress some of the votes in even the states where he won. So it doesn't look like, for example, if Utah had voted for him by a margin of 85% to 15%, and then in the state of Nevada, he lost overwhelmingly, that would look suspicious, don't you think? Because we're not a whole lot different. In other words, they have to make it look like he wasn't popular across the board, even in those states where he was popular. You know, to make it look like a general consensus across the board. I'm not sure if I'm getting that point across very well, Sam. So there, I believe there's vote fraud. And of course, I mean, the black box machines that we use for voting are a means whereby they can suppress the vote. They don't need to use mules. But I think they used mules just because they wanted evidence in the form of a ballot to prove, aha, yeah, here's a ballot that proves that somebody cast a vote for Joe Biden. So they don't want to use the high-tech means all the time because then it looks kind of suspicious. Anyway.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I want to make this very clear to you. D'Souza, the filmmaker, along with Catherine and Greg, break down the numbers, ladies and gentlemen, to see if it would have changed the outcome of the election. Now, here's what I find interesting in their scientific analysis, their data. In Wisconsin, by the way, they used 100 mules as their example, who averaged 28 Dropbox visits each, which relates to about 14,000 suspect votes. That's 6,000 votes short. You heard me. 6,000 votes short of giving Donald Trump the win. So in Wisconsin, it would not have moved the needle enough to give electoral votes to Donald. But there was mules there. and the mules affected about 14,000 votes. It wasn't enough. They didn't get out the mules enough in Wisconsin. But in Georgia, you get 30,000 suspect votes, more than enough to put the, quote, win for Georgia in Biden's column. Arizona, 200 mules, okay? 20,000 suspect votes, giving the win again to Trump. In Philadelphia alone, for example, ladies and gentlemen, now you narrow it down to a city. 1,100 mules, average 50 Dropbox visits apiece, giving us 275,000 suspect votes, giving the lead to Trump. Okay, even if we look at these 2,000 mules in these swing states, it gives Trump the win. But we're not even looking all over the place. Okay, it isn't about Donald. It isn't about the 2020 election. Yes, that's the sampling right now, but it's about election fraud all over the country. Remember, I just told you 14,000 votes in Wisconsin were manipulated by mules. Just because it didn't change the outcome of the 2020 election, that doesn't mean there's no vote fraud. See, we've got to take this all 3,000 plus countywide, Chris.
Yes, and that's what they do. They actually do that. So the 10 drop boxes and the one get out the vote visit was a very, very high bar or a very, very high criteria. If you lower that criteria slightly and you say, okay, we're going to look at mules that visited only 5 drop boxes at least, you know, or higher, and deposited at least 3 illegal votes per drop box, that then adds up to 810,000 illegal votes across the nation. Now, based on that criteria, and this is a lot of, you know, just averaging and doing a slight amount of speculation, you have 305 electoral votes now being given to Donald Trump against Biden's 233 electoral votes, giving Donald Trump a landslide victory, as if the previous numbers, 279 to 259, were not a landslide. Either way you look at it, Donald Trump wins the election. Now, would I be happy about that? No, because I didn't vote for him. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding, again, I will reiterate what this is all about. It's about voter integrity. It's about knowing that your vote is being counted and illegal votes are not being counted. And that's what makes me upset about this whole thing. It seems like both Democrats and Republicans, Sam, are ignoring the fact that there was a sufficient amount of evidence to determine that voter fraud did overturn the 2020 presidential election. And it's about the principle of the thing. It's about knowing that our integrities have, or our elections have integrity, and that we can trust that our vote will be counted. And
all
nobody
right, now let me
else
explain, will be. Let me explain something people need to really understand with this. Because what they want to do is deceive you with manipulation and the blurring of ideas. Write that down. Quote, the blurring of ideas, quote, creates confusion. What do I mean? Well, there's two questions. Was there vote fraud? Yes or no? Did the vote fraud then have enough mojo, if you will, to change the outcome of the 2020 election? Those are not a singular idea, ladies and gentlemen. They are two reality check discussion points that need to be separated and analyzed. Why do I say that? Because whether it would change the election or not in 2020 is a good question. And in the case of the 2000 Mules movie, they proved that it would have in the 5 key swing states. I get it. I agree. But here's where they confuse you. They want you to believe that, oh, whether it would have changed the election or not is the question. That isn't the question. It's one of the questions, but it isn't the question. Do you read me loud and clear, my fellow Americans? The salient million-dollar question, $64,000 question, whatever you want to say, is, was there vote fraud in your precinct, in your county? Because if there was, you might have an illegitimate governor, an illegitimate county commissioner, an illegitimate mayor in your city.
And he may or may not be a Democrat. And he may be a Republican. And you may like him. You know,
that's right. But the fact is, whether the 2020 election or not, whether Donald won or not, whether it would have changed the national outcome or not, is not relevant to the question. Was there vote fraud in your municipality, your county, your precinct, your whatever? That's a separate question And what they try, what they're trying to do is blur all this to say, well, it wouldn't have mattered anyway, so what's the big deal? No, no, what wouldn't have mattered anyway? Oh, well, Donald. It isn't about Donald. It isn't about 2020. It isn't about whether these five key swing states would have changed. Yeah, that's part of the question. They're good questions, but they're downstream questions from the factual question. If there was vote fraud in your county, then we need to prosecute criminals, don't we? Period. Donald has nothing to do with that in my state, in my county, in my precinct, in my municipality. Nothing. So it isn't about, and what they want to do is they want to polarize this around Donald. They want to polarize this around, would it have changed the national outcome? Well, we're already past that. That's a couple of years ago. Don't you know that, Sam? I mean, that was back in 2020. You realize it's 2022, don't you? No, see, now you're falling for the blurring of ideas lie. No, it does matter because there's an election coming up right now. No, Donald's not in it. No, it's not 2020. That's why that doesn't matter. Those things matter to prove the facts. Sure, they're valuable questions. I'm not saying they don't matter. What I'm saying is you can't wrap up the future of elections. You can't wrap up the different precincts, the different counties, and the different states' elections in this it's already passed idea. In this it's about Donald Trump idea. In this, well, it wouldn't have changed the national outcome idea because none of those things are relevant in local politics, in state politics, in county and counties and municipalities. What matters is, was there and is there vote fraud? If so, let's dig in, get the truth, and prosecute criminals. If not, ladies and gentlemen, then let's designate a county clean, if you will, and build confidence in the voter. That's what this is about, Chris.
Yeah, because outrage and justice and doing something about this problem takes effort and energy on your part, and people just don't want to put forth that effort and inconvenience their
lives.
I do,
buddy. I want to drill in and get it done, buddy. I take no prisoners. Let's go.
Well, you do so 6 days a week. I'll tell you that, 2 hours a day.
I want to tear it up, buddy, and stand for God, family, and country every day of my life. I want to die in that effort.
Well, you know,
I just don't want to die prematurely in that effort.
Yeah. The cause of our God, the cause of our battle against tyranny in this country is the Lord's cause, and we need to be engaged in that fight. Somebody said, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Lieutenant Carlson. Yeah, we need to be engaged in the fight because the battle is the Lord's. And, you know, once we engage in that fight, then we find ourselves securely and unequivocally up on the Lord's side. And that's where we need to be in this fight, because if we're not engaged, then whose side are we on? And if we're sitting on the fence, that's not a very good position to be in. You know, you got to choose your side in this battle because it is a righteous fight, and is it a righteous cause we need to get behind? And if we're not doing at least something, I mean, look at what Dinesh D'Souza and Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips have done for us. They have given us all the information we need. We don't even need to do the research now, Sam. All we need to do is to buy the film, it's $29.99, and invite a bunch of friends and family over to watch it. How much easier could it be? That's all we need to do. And then they can activate their friends and family. And hopefully this thing will snowball, and hopefully it'll get up to the highest echelons of power. I doubt it, like you said, because one of their greatest weapons is to just ignore the evidence and pretend that it's not there. And then if it comes up in a conversation, then they can say, oh,
right.
Yeah. Well,
so we got a lot to talk about next hour, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about this reality check. Everybody wants to look to the federal government to solve your problems. Would you quit doing that? Would you just stop that? Let me explain to you about jurisdictional authority, ladies and gentlemen. The federal government is irrelevant to this. That 10-mile-square Washington District of Criminals is irrelevant to vote fraud in your county. You got it? Write it down. It's irrelevant to your vote fraud in the United States. The United States are not the federal government. There are jurisdictional boundaries and differences and a separation of powers. The Supreme Court calls it dual sovereigns. Ladies and gentlemen, let's dig in and talk about that. We'll talk about the persecution that poor Greg Phillips is experiencing, and then we'll talk about my ideas for solutions and what we, the people, are going to do about it. You ready? Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Chris, final word this hour is yours.
Okay, without God, Sam, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.